All right, good evening, and welcome to our regular scheduled board meeting for Monday, May 14th. It's about 7:10, so I will ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Carji.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. Can you all please ask you to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nope. Okay, very good. All right. If I can, okay, so no citizens' comments. If we can get on with the elected officials, comments and announcements. If I can start with Trustee Corsini, who had just a birthday recently.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
24?
Yeah, 24.
20. Plus, plus.
But thank you. So I hope everyone had a nice Mother's Day yesterday, despite the on-again, off-again weather. It was nice yesterday, finally sunny. I wanted to just update the board that before this meeting, the Finance and Administration Committee met and had our discussion about the pension funding policy updates, and so later in the agenda, we're going to recommend to the board that we adopt the new policies. Trustee Conti and myself attended a work group meeting last week with EDC members, Tim Brangle and Chair Bob O'Connell, and our consultant and Eric, and we just reviewed where we're at in the process, and hopefully within the next 30 days or so, we're going to have some information to bring back to the board. So fingers crossed on that. So we're moving forward. And then I also wanted to announce that I've been serving on the Community Council for Oak Park and River Forest High School. This is the end of my second year of my first term, and I'm not going to re-up for that. And you'll note that I've occasionally reported back to the board about opportunities and discussions that we've had there. So I don't know if it's something that we want to just have a representative there from the board moving forward. They're right now going through their process of nominating potential members for the next 2 years. And District 90 and has a member on the committee that attends the meetings and reports back to their board. So I don't know if that's something we want to talk about.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
But, and then also greater consideration to the public. There's, you know, they're looking for anybody that would like to participate and be on the committee. And I can get Eric some information as to how they can get in touch with the nominating committee and put their names in for consideration, and we maybe could put that on the website.
When does the term start? The fall?
So it starts in the fall, and it runs the whole year, and it's a two-year commitment. They meet the first Thursday of every month, and basically the committee is made up of about 45 members from the community of both Oak Park and River Forest. And at the beginning of the year, we decide on topics that we want to discuss, whether it be finance, whether it be you know, safety and security at the school or curriculum and those types of things. And so the board, they have a board liaison, they have the principal, superintendent, and various other department heads will come and speak to the council on a monthly basis. So it's very informative, and it helps us keep tabs on what's going on at the high school. Since we both share, you know, that commonality between the two communities. So it's really informative, and I would encourage anybody that in the community, whether you have children at the high school or not, it's really something nice to be involved in. So that's why I'll get information to Eric about, you know, anybody that's listening to the tape that wants to maybe give their time. It would be a nice thing for them to
but
do.
You're also recommending if there's somebody at the board level.
Yeah,
here.
I think it would be a good idea just because it helps kind of, you know, we can bring back information to them of what's going on at our board, and then I try to come back and report out about what we're discussing there, too. So it's something, you know, now that we're in the May, month of May, if we want to reassign committee assignments or something, something to think about. Okay. And you have to go through and get approved, but, you know, they want to have these names by June 1st, so.
Okay.
So if there's anybody here that would like to think about
it. So, yeah, think about it. Okay. Well, if you're interested, Patty, or anybody else, let me know, and we'll work.
Yeah, and then I'll get you the name.
I mean, it is informative.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I'll get you the name of the chair of the nominating committee, and then we can...
Okay.
You can forward your name and email, and then they're going to reach out to everybody that wants to be a part of it, and it goes through a process. You fill out an application, and then it has to be approved at the Board of Education level, so.
Okay. All right.
So we'll make sure we get a couple applications and give it out to the trustees and who's interested.
And that's all I have to report.
All right.
Thank you,
Carmella. Tom?
First, my thoughts and prayers to Howard Wax and his family. Howard was one of the original bocce players and a frequent Flamingo Friday goer, and I pray to God that he's okay. And also, the collaborative committee was at somewhat of a pause, for lack of a better term. And I'm going to let Jonathan finish explaining, because I'm not sure where we're actually at.
Sure, yeah, the committee's at a pause because the consultants at work there. So we go ahead on the first phase, if you will, of building out of that site based on the wireframes and the conversation that we had. He's working on building out a community calendar that will be able to add agencies as agencies want to participate in all that. I think all six agencies should be able to come on here, at least in some respect, to get us started. And one of the things that we had originally considered was the ability to be able to filter by other tags other than agencies, such as target audience or different theme or something like that. Right now, all of the agencies don't have that ability, so we're moving forward with building out a calendar that allows filtering by agency, but not by other topics at this point. So.
Yeah, one of the challenges we have is we're sort of stuck with the lowest common denominator, so whatever the capability of the least capable calendar is what we can do, because otherwise it just doesn't work. So I think the goal is that we will get something out there, and then hopefully the agencies, and right now it's D90, the Park District and the Township, that aren't capable of distinguishing between events. And so I think the goal will be to build it out so that we can actually get something out there, and then hopefully they'll catch up to where we're at so that we can have a more robust and in my view, useful calendar. But rather than stopping and waiting for them, I think it's important that we move forward and at least get something out there.
And not all the agencies even have a calendar now. Oh, so we're
talk to the wife about that one tonight.
We're making big strides for all of those agencies individually and for the community as a whole. And then, somewhere down the line, we will certainly keep that in mind, that as technology catches up with that goal, we can make that a reality too.
Okay, very good.
Okay, just a quick update on the District 200 Imagine Work Group. On April the 14th, April 16th, there were a combination of tours of the building. They also gave the latest facilities designs of what it could be or turned into. There was a lot of comments from people, and by the way, also Trustee Hennig was there. If anybody else, I'm sorry if I'm missing somebody, but there was a lot of comments and concerns about the cost of what this is going to run into, and the group is far less than developing the cost. We're not there yet. We're just coming up with the ideas relating to academics, athletics, performing arts, and the facilities itself. We haven't got to the point of cost, but everybody's been asking about what that's going to be. And we thought that maybe there would be some preliminary cost coming up at the next two community meetings. They're going to be on May the 19th, and which is a Saturday at 9:30, and then another one on Monday, May the 21st at 7 p.m. And it looks like we're doing a lot of refining on what the designs are going to be based on what input we received from people at the last two community meetings, and it looks like we're not going to be ready to produce any cost ranges, so to speak. So, but we're still we will be showing what the latest designs are based on what people's comments were for the last meeting. So the other good thing is if you missed going to any of these meetings, they will be on the website, so you can always look at what those designs are. They'll be posted, I'm sure, after the 19th or the 21st. There will be some additional tours on the 19th and the 21st, so if anybody likes to come or they can participate in the tours, then join the meeting on the at 7 p.m. Okay, that's it.
Very good. Thank you, Russ.
Nothing for me.
I also wanted to ask Tom to have my thoughts and prayers to Howard Wax and his family. I attended several meetings after our last meeting. I went to the North Avenue TIF, as I know other trustees were there as well, that meeting. Eric did a very good job fielding questions from residents. It was apparent, based on some of the questions, that there's a benefit to those meetings, and it really is important to kind of stay on top of communicating with people because, you know, it's not the most easy thing to understand, and so for people to get a better understanding that, you know, we're here to all work together as a team and we all want what's best for the village, and so that was done very well. I also attended the crime prevention meeting, which wasn't as well attended as the previous one, but commend Chief O'Shea and the rest of his team on the presentation that they did. I think it was informative for sure for people who were there. And then last that week I attended the resident meeting for the development at Chicago and Harlem, the proposed development. I personally was pleased to hear the developers' willingness to work with the neighbors. They were certainly mindful of the design in terms of the Bonnie Bray residence. I know the neighbor to the north had some questions at Third House, but they seemed very open to wanting to work with the residents and have everything, you know, be a good neighbor. And I think that was it.
Great. Thanks, Patty. Going there.
I'll just echo the comments to the ladies. Happy Mother's Day. And that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Just a few things. I attended two Springfield events. Lucky me. Yeah. It was pretty funny. Both the Illinois Municipal League, of which I am a board member of, and we are association of, and then the West Central Municipal Conference, of which I am the president of, and also we are part of the association. And both of those events circled around, of course, all of the legislation that is being, well, right now they're in the middle of, last week was coming out of committee and now going on to the floor for votes. But the biggest issue is the budget right now, and or their lack of, but it
Straight
often,
budget.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. They got till May 31st to, I think, create a balanced budget, and we'll see if that happens. But meanwhile, there's several documents that IML has put together in the West Central, and I'll leave it with Eric. And just to give you an idea, the gravity of some of the legislation that has been proposed by some legislators, it's several pages long regarding some proposed state mandates. So either some of these state mandates either will cost us in funds, or it will be a loss of revenue in funds. Either way, it's not good. And you know, this is something that we, of course, not only through the association, but even individually with our representative, State Representative Walsh and Senator Lightfoot, we, of course, always call them about key initiatives. The one that is that you might have seen, that we just sent out on our website and through broadcast was the protectmytown.us, and I highly recommend the residents look at that website and read that letter. It's basically trying to preserve our local government distribution fund. It is key to our budget. And if we lose any portion of that budget, as you all know, I'm kind of singing to the choir, it can impact, and it will impact our basic services to fire, police, and public works. So I urge all the residents, yourselves around the table, and all of our residents to consider sending a letter through protectmytown.us to our leaders and our state rep and senators. Okay. And then today, Eric and I met with the Water Reclamation District, John Joner, I guess, and Mariana Sepropoulos. How about that? Okay. Really great folks. They gave us some great ideas, something that I think our Sustainability Commission could would like. They said there are some grant money for green alleys that we could apply for, and so perhaps the commission and Eric can work with the Water Reclamation District on some of those, you know, shovel-ready type of grants. They also will provide trees, oak trees. I guess we'll have to nurture the trees because they come in little seeds, but hey, they're free. And, you know, maybe we can have our own nursery. I don't know. What do you guys think of that? Anyway, so free trees in seeds, not quite where we want them to be, but it's something we could consider. And then they have a building buyback, too, if there's any buildings that appear, you know, based on, you know, water management and all the things that you could do to prevent flooding. If there's continues to be flooding and there needs to be a reservoir, they have a building buyback as well. So kind of a, am I missing? I think I've got them all.
Yeah, for like competitive loss, I think.
Yeah, competitive loss. So great meeting. They reached out to us, so, you know, I think gave us some insight on some of the things that we can do as a town to help our residents. So good stuff. So that's all I have. Did I miss something? Oh, yes. This is a wonderful news. I'm proud and pleased to announce that our commissioner, our Cook County Commissioner, Pete Silvestri, helped us secure a grant from Cook County of $40,000 to help us prepare a bike plan study. So that was really wonderful. I know how competitive that money is. And please, if you see Commissioner Silvestri, please thank him on behalf of the Village of River Forest for his service. He has done really wonderful things for our community, and I can't thank him enough. So thank you, Commissioner.
And that will weave into the comp plan. If you recall, the comp plan started to assimilate what a bike plan would look like. This will allow us to further develop that into something more concrete with more action steps and recommendations.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not just the Forest Preserve bike plan?
No, this is completely separate. This is just for River Forest.
And to that point, can we also advertise that people should go take the survey online that we have for the bike path and the safe school routes? Program as well.
That's I'm sorry. We're going to do another social media hit on that this week as well.
No, good point. Anything we can do to increase our response on those, it's important. Okay, so that's all I have. So we'll move on to the consent agenda. If I can ask Trustee to move the consent agenda A through M.
I move to approve the consent agenda as presented, items A through M.
I'll second.
We have to pull item J off because I don't believe Trustee Vasquez can vote on that.
Okay. So I will amend the motion. Consent agenda approve A through I and K through M.
Okay. Tom? Okay. If I can ask the clerk to please read.
I just want to separately note, I want to congratulate staff for getting that grant. Apparently MRD, the Water Reclamation District is looking to give these grants, but I compliment you guys on getting the grants because it saves us money.
Right. Absolutely.
That's Jeff and John are the ones that did that, so they do that. And that's all done in-house, so they'll write right around here.
Good point.
And I have a quick question regarding C, the right-of-way license encroachment waiver. Will we need to approve these individually as they all come up?
Yes. Yes, and then we make a...
Can I get a grandfather approval for my parking irrigation system?
Do you need a grandfather?
Let's talk. I would defer to the village attorney, but because it's a license agreement and we are permitting something that is somewhat, that is in the right-of-way of the public property, I don't think staff has the authority to grant that.
You could allow staff to approve them pursuant to your village code if you want to delegate that authority. Most communities bring them to the board and put them on a consent agenda because it's considered a routine item. However, typically, because it's an interest in property, it deserves some more, you know, or an approval by the board. But I'm aware of some communities that delegate that, for instance, to the chief appointed officer as well. So,
as I read it, I noticed that there's so many precedents of it that, you know, I was just curious why we would have to just go through it if it were automatically really going to go through it. But if that's not the case, then it's, of course, it's fine.
Well, it is sitting on the consent agenda, so make it a little bit easier.
And we did one for a fence last
right.
year, too.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it.
What?
I'd rather have them
yeah,
come to the board. Yeah.
Yeah, then it gets read in the minutes.
Typically, these will get also recorded on property. So when we yeah. do things like that, it's just, to me, it's better to check this box.
Then we don't trust you. Okay. No, good question. Any other comments? So hearing none, I'll ask the clerk to please read the consent agenda. A, regular village board meeting minutes, April 23rd, 2018. B, executive session meeting minutes, April 23rd, 2018. C, right-of-way license encroachment waiver and license agreement for an irrigation system located 1102 Franklin Avenue. D, waiver of formal bid and award of contract to KLOA Inc. for traffic signal engineering services for signal modifications at Thatcher in Chicago and Thatcher in Lake for a not-to-exceed cost of $20,000. $27,000. E, award of bid and contract for the 2018 water main improvements to Cerniglia Company for $274,640. F, waiver of formal bid and contract. I'll repeat that. F, waiver of formal bid and award of contract for the 2018 water main improvement construction engineering services to Christopher B. Burke Engineering Limited for a not to exceed cost of $35,066. G, award of bid and contract for 2018 pavement preservation to Denler Inc. for $43,760. H, award of bid and contract for 2018 sewer lining project to Kenny Construction for $171,439. I, intergovernmental agreement with the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, MWRD, for partial funding for the Gale Street Alley reconstruction. K, monthly department reports. L, monthly performance measurement report. M, village administrator's report. Okay, can you please take the vote?
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
No. Yes.
Go ahead.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes. I move to approve the consent agenda item J for fiscal year 2018 budget amendment ordinance.
I'll second.
Okay. So there's no comment or questions regarding the amendment, is there? So okay.
Just recusing myself because of the common law conflict of interest, since my law firm represents District 90, District 200. So I ask the clerk not to call my name during the vote.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So there are no items. Further items for consideration, separate consideration. So we'll move on to seven. If I can ask a big favor of the Sustainability Commission, since we have a guest here for our Finance and Administration Committee update, it wouldn't take very long if I can ask them to. Okay, thanks. So we'll move on to 7B. And this is an action. So if I can get a motion. Move the motion.
I'll make a motion to concur with the recommendation of the Finance and Administration Committee to approve the actuarial funding policy statements for the Village of River Forest Police and Firefighter Pension Funds.
Second. Okay, Susan seconds. Well, some of us were here, but I mean, is there something, Carmella, you want to just give us a brief update?
I just, you know, this is kind of a culmination of about 6 to 7 month process, and I just want to recognize Joan for her leadership and, you know, getting, coordinating all the meetings and making sure that we're on track with all this stuff, and to Eric too. Basically, we are just renewing or reviewing our policies after the 2015 policy implementation, updating that to change some of the funding methods and the assumptions. And we've met with the police and fire pensions on a couple of occasions, and you know, it seems like everyone's on board. The police pension had some slight difference in how we were going to present the policy, but the village is going to take a stand that we're being consistent with both funds and how we're allocating investment activity, and as far as how we're going to fund those, both those pensions. So we're treating them consistently and equally. Todd Schroeder is here from Lauterbach and Amen. If you were not here at the Finance Committee meeting and you have some questions on the information that was distributed, he's here to answer any questions. And I think he has a couple of extra copies of the presentation if you'd like a copy of that. Mr. Palm has those. Otherwise, this will be, you know, our goal is to just make sure that we have sustainable, achievable goals for mm-hmm. pension funding over the long term, and I think these policies reflect that. So, thank you.
So, Carmela, just a quick question. I know in 2015 we created our first finance policy, and it's 3 years later. I mean, are these things, how often do you see, you know, I know investments change often. However, we don't change them often, and they slightly move. How often do you think we as a board should always look at a policy?
Well, I think the first initial go at this was, you know, really to come together with both pension funds and the village to kind of come up with a consistent and common vision for how we wanted to move forward with long-term funding of our pension funds. I mean, we've always funded our pension funds. We've always, you know, made our statutory minimum requirements, if not more. And I think it was more of, you know, everyone had different actuaries, everyone right. had different assumptions, different models that they were following. There were some changes in state law with regard to mortality tables, which actually impacted the amounts of dollars that we were allocating from our levies towards both of these pension funds. So at that point, you know, it was decided that we just all sit down and kind of take a look yep. at it and get together and make sure we're all on the same page. And over the years, and at that time we did say that we would have to review these over a certain number of years because we had a transition. So we wanted to yeah. go from point A to point B, but to get to point B, we needed a transition plan to get us there. Last year we realized that, you know, there were some assumptions that changed that kind of made that gap bigger than what we had anticipated. And so at that time we said, well, this is probably a good time to just go back and regroup and take a look at this. You know, I would anticipate that we take a look at these things every 3 to 5 years just to make sure that we're on track, given the fact that assumptions change and the state changes laws, and, you know, we're not going to know where mortality rates go and those types right. of things. So, you know, just to keep looking at it, making sure that we're on track every 3 to 5 years would be something that I would recommend we take a look at. So,
okay, that's good. I would like a copy of I know you did an executive summary. I don't see it in our packet here unless I missed it.
Oh, Jones' memo?
Yeah, Jones.
That was in the Finance Committee packet.
That might be a nice thing to give to all of you trustees. I thought it was I glanced at it.
Huh? Yeah, it was on the agenda for the finance meeting, so that right. was sent out by Dawn on a
separate email.
Separate email.
Okay.
But yeah, it gives a good summary.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be darned. Okay. Don't send it. Then I must have it.
So, if there's any questions of Joan or Todd, you know, I just want to thank them both for their diligence and attention.
I have no further questions. Doesn't seem like anybody else does. So thank you, Carmela and Joan and Todd, for your work. It's important. I mean, this is obviously a big piece of our budget, so it's important we constantly look at it and get it right. So thank you. So with that, if there's no further questions or comments for anyone, I would ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Todd. So, thank you so much. Hopefully you can get home safely without hitting a storm.
We're dry.
Yeah, dry, too. Okay, with that, I'd ask our Sustainability Commission to please come to the podium and give us an update.
Yeah, I'm taking the place of Julie Mollard tonight, who was the mastermind of our recycling extravaganza. Yes, and she put together some slides that I think are being teed up right now. There we go. So tell me how to vote. Just like that. Yes. Okay. So my name's Katie Brennan. I'm the chair of the Sustainability Commission, and the commission put on the recycling extravaganza this year on behalf of the village on Earth Day, April 21st. It was a four-hour event, and this is an overhead shot. Can you see? Can you get?
Was that a drone?
Towards you? Yes, it was done by a drone.
Oh my God!
It was within our budget.
Yeah. who?
Yeah, yeah. So this was held at the sustainable commuter lot on Thatcher, which, as you know, is sort of a horseshoe shape. And let's go to the next slide. There you go. You can see, do I have a long pointer? Where's the long pointer, Eric? You can see the cars coming in from this way.
It's got a laser on it, though. Yeah. Press the green button on it.
There.
Oh, yeah, look at that. So the cars came in this way. This person here is looking, is checking their zip codes for our statistics. They come this way, and our volunteers, we had about 45 volunteers, unloaded different things at different places. There's Julie Mollard, our mastermind. I think this is our village president over here, yeah, unloading right. televisions. Here's one of our commissioners working at the light bulb station. All seven of our sustainability commissioners worked or were represented that day. And in addition to the recycling extravaganza, we also had the Des Plaines River cleanup that was headquartered over here. And here at the red container, those residents who signed up for the curbside compost could pick up their curbside compost that day, the finished compost to, you know, you drive up with your buckets and whatnot and fill up and put them in your garden. So it was a big day. We had Citizens Corps directing traffic, the police, we had extra police help that day, and we needed it because we had 365 total loads that were unloaded that day. 287 of them were driven through, 78 of them were dropped off on foot or bike, 90% of them were from River Forest. And that totals 2.5 pounds of trash for every River Forest resident. And when I say trash, I really mean, for the most part, it was recycled goods. Here is a listing of the items that we accepted that day. It might be a little bit small for you to read, but a lot of scrap metal, a lot of reusable items such as bicycles we collected. Oh, the bicycles on a future slide. Okay. well, we'll go to future slide. Where does it all go? Our main partner for Recycling Extravaganza was Strom Recycling, and we've got a fantastic relationship with them. Julie Mollard has done a great job of fostering that. Strom collected for us 27,460 pounds of electronic waste. The village paid for that waste at 25 cents a pound, and the bill for that, including their the labor that they contributed, was $7,888.75.
Good deal.
which is a great deal because Strom did not charge us extra for the tube televisions, which are usually $25 a pop if you bring your TVs to the recycling at Burr Ridge. He just charged us the straight poundage. And George Strom worked that whole event lifting the heaviest TVs.
Yeah.
It was amazing. There you go. At 10:30 a.m., we had reached our capacity, what we thought we were going to collect that day, and George Strom brought more containers twice. We filled up our scrap metal, 5,880 pounds. He had to bring in an additional roll-off for us for that. We also collected $3,000 worth of just plain trash that went into the landfill. That's not our goal, but when people bring landfill, you know, we didn't turn them away. It was not the plan. That container filled as well, and he brought us a new one. We had 200 pounds of cardboard, 3,500, oh yeah, the trash, 1,300 pounds of batteries, including 500 car and boat batteries. There's the bikes. We got 40 working bikes and 60 helmets. Now, someone mentioned to me the most unique part about our recycling extravaganza is that we partnered with so many different entities to reuse the items that were collected. So this is an entity that collects bikes and brings them to Latin American countries, and I can't remember which country got the bikes this year. There's more. Collected light bulbs, 250 pounds of light bulbs, 20 pounds of corks. We're drinking a lot of wine in River Forest.
That's valuable corks, right? Because yeah. Cork is. Yeah.
We collected 61 boxes of books and school supplies and donated them to Scarce, which offers them to teachers so that they don't have to buy school supplies for their classrooms out of their own pocket. So they can go shopping in this. It's scarce. We collected trophies and recycled them with a Madison, Wisconsin company. Pet supplies. We got 16 animal crates and 5 big boxes of pet supplies, including bowls, leashes, beds, towels, blankets. Epilepsy Foundation was there. They're always there. They do a great job. Almost 2,000 pounds of clothing plus 1,500 pounds of household items. It was a very collaborative event. It felt really good. It was a really nice community spirit with the River Forest Service Corps. I know that the Community Foundation was there. Future philanthropists participated. We had 3 full families who helped out and a bunch of kids toting the empty gas to the scrap metal container, light bulbs. There's your village president calling on television.
Lisa, I said, Lisa, are you holding this at all? No.
Just for the picture.
Yeah. No, she was holding it.
So we do want to thank the village board for funding the acceptance of the e-waste, because that was a somewhat last-minute decision with the change in the laws. It's very difficult to accept the e-waste if we don't have the funding to support that. Mm-hmm. We look forward to doing it again next year, and we've heard really good comments from residents, and I know people are already starting to stash their recyclables in their garages and such. Yeah. Any questions?
Yeah.
I'm bummed that I missed it. I was in North Carolina that weekend and thinking, oh my God, I have so much stuff to bring, and now I have to hold it another year until we do this next year. So I really thank you guys for doing it. It seemed like it was hugely successful, and I'm going to have to double up on my trips next year. So I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, you're right, Carmella. It was amazing. I mean, pretty much everybody that came through just kept on saying, thank you to the village for providing this opportunity to drop the stuff off.
Yeah.
Because you're right, it ends up kind of, in their garages and sometimes somewhere else. And so this was great. This was great. And you guys did an awesome job. I know Julie was the mastermind, but, you got to have a few other supportive groups. And so I thank you and your, the commission and all the people that were involved, the kids. I mean, it was amazing how many families were there helping out and just sorting. That was amazing. So thank you. And please extend our thanks to the commission, for your time. I know
Well, it's a passion.
It is. I can
Katie,
see.
Proving yet again that you are the hardest work. Your committee is the hardest working residents of River Forest. Thanks. I would have been there, but we were in Madison for a dance tryout. But my question was, can we do bulk pickup next year? I know that there's probably a cost associated, but given how you're able to partner with all these groups, is there any way to recycle like a refrigerator or a washer or something like that? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't know either, but usually when you buy a new refrigerator or washer, they'll pick up your old one and recycle
it. That's true.
And I do know that APT, ABT, the company in Glenview, they will accept your old washers and refrigerators and such. And I don't think you even have to buy something there. They'll just take it.
ComEd will take your refrigerator.
If it works.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I ask only because I know a lot of people have asked us to reinitiate that bulk pickup day that I guess we used to have. I don't remember it. But we used to have a bulk pickup day, and a number of people asked me about that. So that's the only reason that I asked.
You mean curbside?
Junk away day.
And that's because you do have some people that have, like, the big screen TVs that obviously can't roll those over to the, drop-off site.
Oh, they did.
And, well, I've had those
couches. Them up
not, like, a mile away. But anyway,
you'd be surprised
I think that's something
they were
to
rolling.
Look at because there are larger items that,
make
it hard to get.
But I think importantly to your mission, your commission's mission, is the idea of recycling it, not just simply landfilling it.
Right.
And it seems like you guys have incredible contacts, and so my thought was maybe there's a way of using, because it's got metal. I mean, it's got to be recyclable. So that was sort of what I was thinking, but
we can look into it. If there's a desire for it, it would probably raise the budget to be able to accept large items like that.
Well, no, I was saying if it's recyclable, it's so like the metal.
Well, you could do that now with
but it's a $25 per item.
There's
or
not a lot
stickers.
Of money out there these days for recyclable metal. Not like 10 years ago, right?
Right.
I mean, all the stuff that comes back from old elevator jobs, the guys used to fight for it. Now it's just junk. Well, the copper, they steal all the things, electrified, so that's a different story.
Yeah. But I'm right
it's
about
not like,
that, right?
It's not like the old days when we were kids having aluminum can collections. It's just something's changed with the value.
It's too much. You can do it now, but it's going into the landfill, and so I think your point is that if we can have one day where bulk recyclable items
can be recycled
and not going to the landfill, then...
So, is that true? I mean, maybe, I don't know. So, if we put a sticker on, $25 sticker on the refrigerator,
it goes in the garbage.
I just got rid of my trampoline today. It went in the garbage.
Special pickup, but it's not recycled.
I have a question.
It's still going to
landfill? It's already gone.
If we can't wait all year to get rid of our corks, for example.
Have you been to the Conti
House? Not that you're specifically targeting wine.
I would love to see a list. Can the commission put a list on their website somewhere that says, "Hey, if you have this item or this item, this is where you can take them in the meanwhile." Light bulbs, batteries, corks.
That is a great idea.
We call
the Epilepsy Foundation.
We collect batteries there.
Well, and you have the Burridge location as well.
Mm-hmm. But it's not what. But which one? For something that's more than once a year.
The Burridge location's ongoing.
So you might want to explain that.
There's the, and I'm just closing my eyes because there's so many acronyms. So there's the West Central Municipal Conference, of which we're a member, and there's a subgroup called the West Central Solid Waste Agency, of which we pay dues and are a member. And so part of the deal there is that we get free recycling at the Burridge facility. So you can bring your TVs and stuff there and drop it there. Of course, the downside is it's in Burridge. Right.
Well, I was thinking even some of that older stuff, that, you know, the still batteries for sure. And
well, we do batteries here.
Here.
We do
household batteries.
We take the drugs are here. We take your drugs. We take your batteries.
Your flags,
light bulbs,
really
your flags. Sugar beets takes your corks.
Ah, see. And the other question is,
I don't take corks.
Sugar beet. Another compost day.
We're getting one.
We are?
Yes. We're going to do it twice a year.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll continue to do it in the spring, probably still on Earth Day or around Earth Day. Okay. And then Strom has agreed to give us a second day in the fall. And we just have to pick the day.
Okay. I missed my day.
To pick up your compost?
I wasn't here. So it was
to pick up the finished compost.
No, yeah. Not the bananas.
Okay. That's my
answer.
Yeah.
So if I can, are there any other questions? I'd like to also beg your indulgence to also mention that we are having a Sustainability Commission survey as well, because there just aren't enough surveys. And if I can just give these to you to pass around, that is the website that we would ask you to go to and pass and give them to your friends and neighbors in River Forest, because we'd like to know what residents know about the Sustainability Commission and what they would like us to be doing, and we need to start somewhere. So it's a very simple, fast 11-question survey.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How many bee permits do we have? Do we know?
Less than half of those.
Really?
Six.
Okay. And mention about the garden.
Oh yeah.
Everybody about the garden.
The garden.
Oh, we are getting a community garden, at which residents and non-residents can rent plots. I think they're breaking ground on Wednesday, and I think we've got maybe 8 plots sold. 8 of the 24 plots are sold already.
How much are they going out?
Near Trinity. It's by the water pumping station. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Park District 7.
Yeah.
Use one of the plots for the trees.
Yeah, our seedlings.
I'm not sure the neighbors will appreciate
that.
I think that was a great
such enthusiasm.
Idea, we can grow our oak trees.
What's the purpose of non-residents? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, if there are plots available for the season and they're not sold, residents can or non-residents could rent one also.
All right. Thank you very much, Katie. So, I guess Sue's going to tell us about the green plot parties.
I don't know the answer to that. On the non-resident thing, I'm not sure about that, actually.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think it's residents only. Yeah. I'm going to check that. Not to question you, but I'm questioning. I'm just not sure about that. But
we might not see their garden grow.
Yeah. And it's... it's been a great collaborative effort because it's the village, it's public works, and it's the park district and, you know, the Sustainability Commission. So that's really exciting, that one.
Yep.
So I'm here to talk with you tonight about the Green Block Party. Usually I come to you at the end of the season and say what we did, but this year, because we've got such, I think, an exciting plan, we wanted to share it with you first. So this year we're partnering with the Deep Roots Project, and David Murphy's here tonight. I asked him to come along in case you had any questions. But we're partnering with the Deep Roots Project. They are a local nonprofit whose mission is to convert conventional lawn into bountiful edible and native gardens, and create toxic-free lawns and landscapes. And the Deep Roots Project was a contestant in the recent Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation Big Idea. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that's established by the Entrepreneur Leaders in Philanthropy, which is a group within the foundation. And each year they offer a grant of $50,000, which is awarded from the ELP fund for a transformative idea or transformative idea. And it's a very competitive process. I don't know if anyone has attended, but it's at the wire and it's like Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. And they get that's how they modeled it, actually. So all these nonprofits come in and they present their finalists, yep, and they present their big idea. And it is decided by judges in the community, which are entrepreneurs in the community, and it's decided that evening who will get the $50,000. So the big idea did not win, however, they didn't win the $50,000, but the judges were so impressed with their big idea that the Deep Roots Project received, the judges got band together at the event and offered them $10,000. Yeah. And since then, that has grown to $16,000 grant that they've received. And the Sustainability Commission was a partner with them from the beginning, and we helped them with some of the parts of the big idea, and we collaborated with them on the piece that was they committed to planting 6 edible, or they're called inspirational edible gardens in River Forest. And part of the program is that we're currently within that $16,000 that we have now, the Deep Roots is still committed to those 6 gardens for us, because we have been a partner. And those 6 gardens, one we've already discussed with Dominican, so we will have one on Dominican. These are edible gardens we're referring to right now. And we're also in discussions with Grace Lutheran right now, and we have reached out to First Press as well. So that will take care of 3 of the gardens, and there'll be 3 remaining gardens available. And part of the garden agreement is that Deep Roots Project will not only build and plant the garden, they also maintain it for 2 years and educate for 2 years. So in order to ensure the success. And the concept is that we educate residents as well as our institutions. So there are 3 gardens that are going to be available to residents as well, and it's going to be through the Green Block Party that they'll be able to apply. So that's that part of it. And then in addition to the edible gardens, we're using also part of the grant for our Green Block Party, and it's the opportunity to plant a pollinator garden. And we're calling it Parkways for Pollinators. So the pollinator gardens will consist of native plants that will attract pollinators such as butterflies and hummingbirds. And also part of the Mayor's Monarch Butterfly Pledge, we're including milkweed so that it can also attract the monarch butterflies and be part of the monarch butterfly corridor. And these gardens we've designed to go into the parkways at the Green Block Party. They are designed to have a beautiful and positive environmental impact by creating gardens that support native pollinators and assist with water runoff and control soil erosion. The gardens are native, and that means that they are perennial, and by the very nature of being native, they are low maintenance and low water. So the fundamental basis for encouraging the use of native plants, apart from encouraging pollinators to return and native pollinators, is also to help control soil erosion. And the fact that the native plants are native, they have a deeper root system in the Midwest. So that deep root system improves the soil infiltration for water and withstands the soil erosion. So the concept is that once a resident is interested in a Green Block Party, and we have redesigned our website as we do every year, that they will tick yes to a Green Block Party, and Deep Roots Project will then contact them and say, okay, you are, and we have it on there that you will receive a free pollinator garden. And this is an activity that will be done at the Green Block Party. So Deep Roots will come in, and it'll be a community activity with kids and families to plant this garden. And residents will be taught how to care for the garden. This care is generally during the early stages of the garden when it's being established, because it needs watering when it's in its infancy. But after that, once it's established, it will be self-sufficient. And because they're natives, they need far less watering once they've reached maturity. So they'll also get to learn how to maintain the garden, and having Deep Roots contact them and have to find a location for the garden on their block, that gives us the opportunity to educate them at that moment and talk to them about what the native garden is about, where the best place is for it, and then that we had the opportunity to make sure we place it correctly. So if I've got the Duvalaki, right? Okay, so just, we're calling it Parkways for Pollinators. And, I don't know why that happened, but okay. Yeah. So these are the plants that we have chosen to plant. Deep Roots also worked with Wild Ones to make sure we chose native plants that will attract pollinators. And we have a shade garden. Yeah, this one's better. We have a shade garden that can go in areas where a block doesn't have a lot of sun, and we have a sun garden as well. And the person, depending, you know, the block, depending on where they want to have it, will determine how that goes. The idea of the gardens is that we have them in a kidney shape. They up to 4x8. That's just depends on, that'll be the maximum, but they can be smaller or depending on the space available. And we tried to do a photo conceptual for you so that you could see what we're thinking of these looking like. And the idea is to beautify, you know, the parkways at the same time as, you know, controlling runoff and having natives and having an activity. So I think that's it. I have any questions?
I do.
I'm sure there's lots.
Are we allowed? Is there some ordinance that restricts parkway planting because of sightline concerns or things of that
right,
nature?
Right, and so I raised this with Sue, and so as long as the plantings don't get into an area that would create a line-of-sight obstruction, you're okay.
So what we've done, if we've chosen low plants, nothing that's going to be too high, no tall grasses or anything like that, no corners, we've stipulated it can't go on corners, so there's no obstruction of view on corners. And it's also listed in the information that it is public land, so as I say, what the village giveth, it can taketh away as well. So these are free gardens, but if the village needed to do maintenance or anything like that, it is understood that the gardens can be removed and they would only be replaced with sod, which is standard whenever the village pulls up your parkway.
There would be one of these per block? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes. One per block party, yeah. And we generally have 33 green block parties, between 33 and 35. The last couple of years it's been consistent at 33. However, I don't anticipate that everybody's going to, you know, 30-something block parties has taken us 5 years to get to. So I don't expect that we're going to end up necessarily with that amount coming out of this, but it's possible that we can introduce it so that it can be repetitive each year, because the whole block gets to participate in it and the kids get to participate in it. So it's an activity. Much like last year, we had the soil bombs last year where people could make like a little seedling thing, or they had the honey tasting or whatever. It's the same concept.
For the edible gardens, have you spoken to Concordia?
Yes and no, by way of Grace Lutheran, because Grace Lutheran back up onto them, so it's kind of a combined discussion at the moment. But we've talked to Grace Lutheran, who are going to bring them into the conversation.
I think Concordia's got more than Grace Lutheran does.
We just chose Grace Lutheran because the kids could have a lot of activity with it.
Yeah. I know Lincoln, and in Lincoln School in Willard, I mean, they're doing all those, you know, plantings and gardens already.
Right, the one really interesting piece, which I forgot to add to this, which is really important, is part of that grant is that 25% of the produce that is produced in any of those edible gardens must go to the food, donated to the food insecure. Yeah. So that is part of the program. And you mentioned that because those schools, a lot of those schools do that already. Yeah. I know Hatch over in Oak Park do that as well. So that is part of the program as well.
Yeah. I don't know if Lincoln.
Lincoln does not. No, yeah.
But they have a program, which is, and the kids love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we're excited about that as well. Yeah, and pretty much the grant is covering a lot of the costs of this particular. You know, well, certainly all of the green, the edible gardens, and a lot of the native as well. So and whatever it doesn't cover would come out of our $5,000 budget.
Good.
And we're still promoting the healthy lawn, healthy family at it. David will be there explaining toxins and, you know, use of chemicals on lawns, and so still signing people up so they understand the connection between all of this, and still signing people up for the healthy lawn as well. So we had 52 sign up last year, additional residents, so we're hoping to at least get that, if not surpass that, this year as well.
Right. Where are we on the composting? Do you know where?
I don't know what numbers we're at on the composting. We need
I know
Julie
was really
we
doing
need
high fives.
Julie on that
she
one.
Said
yeah.
She had like 14 new, 15 new composters. All good stuff. So it's catching fire.
Between 200 and 250.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great.
And I don't know if anyone's driven around. I was driving around town sort of paying attention to Parkway Gardens now, and it's amazing how many residents have a large amount of gardens in their parkways. When you start looking at it, you see a lot of them. And there's one right next to Lincoln School. So on this street, you just drive down, and it takes up the entire parkway. I mean, it looks quite beautiful, but I think residents, you know, are already sort of doing this anyway. And I hope I haven't dobbed someone in who hasn't got a permit.
That's all right. We'll catch them. No. Thank you, Sue.
No worries.
Unless there's any other further questions for Sue or Katie, thank you very much. This is exciting stuff, you know, some new stuff for us. But in the end, I think it's gonna be tons of, you know, fun for us over the next several years. People are going to look back and say, this is an awesome idea. So.
Well, we're also hoping that with this one, we'll get more grant money too. There's a lot of interest in introducing native plants in communities. So, thank you.
Good stuff. Thank you so much. Okay, so we're going to move on to our other agenda items. Here's we're finished with the boards, commissions, and committees. There are no unfinished business, so we'll go on to 9. Which is the new business is to pass an ordinance. This is regarding our TIF. So if I can have a trustee move 9A and another trustee second it.
I'll move to pass an ordinance calling for a public hearing and joint review board meeting to consider the designation of a redevelopment project area and the approval of a redevelopment plan and project for the Village of River Forest, North Avenue, TIF Increment Financing District.
Okay. Second.
Thank you. All right.
Yes. For reasons stated earlier, I'm going to recuse myself and ask the clerk not to call me during the vote.
Okay. Thank you, Russ. So, do we want to just give a quick update, or is it self-explanatory?
Fairly self-explanatory. By ordinance, you have to set the date of both the public hearing for which will be on July 9th, and then the JRB, which will be on May 31st. So this is just another step in that process, and the notification goes out to the affected parties regarding these meetings.
It's pretty straightforward. I think we've talked about it quite a few times. So unless there's any specific questions regarding the dates, then I'd ask the clerk to take the vote on this, please.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Motion
passes. I'll make a motion to authorize a pre-hiring of 2 police officers.
Okay. Second.
Okay. Thank you. Again, another self-explanatory. I think Eric did a very nice job of explaining the need for pre-hiring. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, we did this middle of last year, anticipating retirement. We had a retirement, and then we just had a natural separation with an officer going to the private sector. So we have gone through those 2 pre-hires already. One of the employees is back in field training right now, and the other one's still at the academy. And so we know there may be another retirement in the future. at least one, and then a couple more. You know, we're running into that area where we have several people in the 20 to 30 range. So 20 is that kind of magical year where Tier 1 employees on police and fire can retire if they have the years and the age. Certainly, if they don't have the age, they could wait. And then we have a couple other folks that will be starting to close in on those dates. So that and the fact that it takes a while to get someone onboarded by the time they go to the academy. Academy is 18 to 20 weeks, up to 22 weeks, depending on the type of training they're getting, 14 weeks in FTO. Then they have solo patrol, which is another 32 to 37 weeks, where they're still under probation. So there's a lot of time it takes to get these folks trained up and onboarded. And so allowing this, then it basically helps counterbalance the overtime that we encounter when someone just leaves abruptly. So the key point here is we're not increasing the authorized strength of the department or the amount of employees. We're rather just trying to bring people on board a little bit faster.
Yeah. I just had two questions. One, these are people from, they're already qualified. It's just simply we'll hire them next, and we're now just doing that before there's an opening, correct?
Correct. So So the Police and Fire Commission has set an eligibility list. They're still interviewed. They would go through background checks, psychs, polygraph, all the normal pre-employment, but we would go off the existing list.
And you don't have fixed, at least for, if I understand the memo correctly, there's one person you're not sure when they're going to leave, correct?
Right.
There was anticipated, or right, I forgot the language you used. But.
Right, exactly. So we have one employee that will be retiring probably in the next 12 months, but their date has not been set yet.
So what happens when they finish training and they're ready to FTO? Are they considered then an authorized?
No, not until they're clear off of FTO and they're on the street.
Okay, so basically it doesn't count against our complement of officers until they're qualified to actually be officers.
We wouldn't consider them part of the authorized strength until they're on the street alone.
And is the Police and Fire Commission doing a new, they're in the process of doing a new list, or are we almost done with our?
No. So the list? Fire and Police Commission just held a test for firefighter.
Okay.
So they had, it wasn't a lot. I think 22 people took the test, and I think we had like 11 maybe that passed. So it's a very short list. But it all depends. You may not have it. You know, it's the luck of the draw on who retires or who leaves at that point. So you may not even hire anyone off that list. It's hard to say. Sergeant, police sergeant is this year, and then fire lieutenant is also. So they have three lists they have to administer.
But the police list still has
the police list has one more year left in it.
Okay.
But how far are we into that list?
Yeah, I thought.
You know, Jim?
I believe we're coming up to halfway, and one of the issues that we face when we're about halfway,
right,
somebody good candidates upper end of that have been hired by other agencies, because most of them are on multiple lists at the same time looking for an opportunity to be hired by an organization that will put them through the police academy.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So what would happen, though, if they finish training and finish the FTO and you don't have an opening yet?
So then we would technically have one extra officer.
Okay.
But, you know, the other thing that plays into all this is you have workers' comp injuries, you have FMLA. What did we have last year? About, you know, five or six FMLA situations. And so for that short period of time, I'll acknowledge there's a little bit of a hedge to this, right? And this assumes that everyone gets through our process and it doesn't separate or leave because they couldn't get through the process as well. So that's the other challenge is municipalities are having more difficulty getting their recruits to get through all of their steps. There's a higher turnout rate, what's the word I'm looking for.
Attrition.
Yes, higher level of attrition with police.
Which is interesting. Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote, please. Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conte?
Yes.
Trustee Hennig?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Greg, before we make this motion for the next topic, can I add something to it?
Yes.
I'd like to ask a personnel question in executive session.
Then, in that case, then the motion to adjourn to executive session should include pending probable imminent litigation, setting the price for sale or lease of property owned by the village, and to discuss the performance compensation, whatever it may be about a specific employee of the municipality.
All right.
On that note, I'll move to adjourn to executive session.
I'll second that motion. All right. Trustee Corsini. Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Roll call. Yeah. Right. Roll call.
The next step's a roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conte.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Aducey.
Do we have a summer schedule set, or what's our next meeting?
Yeah, I still need everyone's, or I'll check with Dawn if you haven't. Make sure you send your summer schedule.
So no meeting, no more meeting in May?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we're not meeting Monday, the 21st, there's no count. We're definitely meeting on the Tuesday, the 29th. Okay. So that night, we've gotten the bids came back through IDOT on the Chicago Avenue project for this summer. They were a little bit higher than what the engineer had estimated, so we had to go back to the council mayors to try to secure some more funding. We believe we have that, and so the board will have to accept the low responsible bidder. It's kind of a wonky process because it all runs through IDOT, but we still have to sign off on it. I didn't want the board to sign off on that until we knew we had the additional funding.
It's Tuesday?
Yeah, because we got more
than the 28th. Yeah.
Yeah, we got the parade. Don't forget the parade.
Yeah, the parade.
Which is a different time this year, too.
Early. That's what I was thinking. Is it earlier than normal?
9:30.
What are we giving away this year?
Clocks.
Chief of the master of the gift swag.
Master of
chat. Is that
going
to be a
surprise? No, you can tell us.
Pocket-sized Tums.
Oh. Pocket-sized.
It did have someone ask for more bags.
We've ordered another 2,000, I think. They're different colors, though, because they ran out of green.
We bought
all out of the green. Green pens, and then what was the other thing? Like some squishy thing for the kids?
It's a little public works truck.
Will they be the blue of the River Force flagger?
So 9:30 the parade starts?
Yeah, we're 9:30. We're same place.
We have some more t-shirts coming if anybody needs some more t-shirts. Mine still fits from last year. Sam's gonna be there. My son, yeah, I'm sure. Beaning people with the bags. You're out of town. I should be there. All right, we're gonna have a full house.
Very good. Awesome.
I will move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.